Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. What do you think it would be like to go somewhere where no one else has ever gone before? Would you be nervous? Excited? And what would you do about the things you saw in that brand new place? Look at them in awe and wonder. Or maybe try to figure out ways to describe them to people back at home. Throughout history, there have been plenty of people who've been to brand new places for the first time. Think of astronauts going up to outer space, for example. Today, we're going to be learning about someone who didn't have to leave the planet in order to travel to a whole new world with fascinating creatures.
So Beebe was, first and foremost, a naturalist, but he had made his name kind of circling the globe, chasing birds in the jungles of Borneo, traveling through the deserts of Mexico, gathering information about different species. He had a kind of belief in, let's say, the liberating power of wonder at the natural world.
This is Brad Fox. He's an author, and today he's here to introduce us to this naturalist explorer scientist who believed in the wonder of the natural world, William Beebe.
Beebe was also interested kind of in the history of how we imagine the deep ocean. For Beebe, the deep ocean presented itself to him in Haiti when he was in a bay and just, you know, doing these shallow dives with a helmet and an air hose, and then at some point just kind of peered down into the deep and was like, that's where I'm headed.
William Beebe enjoyed doing shallow dives, but he wanted to go deeper into the ocean than anyone had ever dived before. This was back in the 1930s, long before submarines and cameras could check out the deep ocean. Beebe was curious to see what he could find deep beneath the ocean waves, but there were plenty of obstacles in his way. For one thing, as you go deeper and deeper into the ocean, there's more pressure pushing down from all the water on top of you. If Beebe went down deep without protection, his body wouldn't be able to handle all of the pressure and he would die. So he needed to make a submersible, a special kind of underwater vehicle that could protect him as he dove into the sea. For help, he talked to his friend Theodore Roosevelt. You might have heard of him before because he was a U.S. president.
When Beebe and Theodore Roosevelt were first fantasizing about a deep sea submersible, they drew their idea as a cylinder and published an article which Otis Barton read, and he, you know, got in touch with them to say, this is not going to work. The pressure of the deep sea will crush this like a tin can.
Luckily, Otis Barton also had an idea of how to design a better submersible, something that was later called the bathysphere.
The bathysphere was the first submersible to bring humans deep into the ocean. It was designed by Otis Barton, who was an engineering graduate in New York City and understood that it would be necessary for the submersible to be spherical in shape in order to distribute pressure evenly. And so the bathysphere was a 4.5-foot steel ball with three openings that were meant to house 3-inch quartz windows that would allow them to see out into the ocean when it was winched into the sea. It was meant as a deep sea observatory.
Whoa, can you picture what Brad is describing? The bathysphere is a sphere, like a ball, but made out of strong steel. It was about the height of a 9-year-old and had windows the size of dinner plates that people could look through. The bathysphere was then winched or dragged into the ocean using a strong cable. This might not sound like the comfiest ride, but it was exactly what William Beebe needed to go deep into the ocean, where no one else had gone before. So Beebe and Barton got to work building the bathysphere, and once it was complete, they traveled to the Bermuda Islands to test it out.
The bathysphere starts out on the deck of this barge called the Ready, which gets towed out 5 miles south of the island of Nonsuch, where the sea is deep enough. They unbolt the 400-pound door And BB and Barton will crawl in, and there's footage of them kind of, you know, comically shaking their feet as they, you know, kind of scoot into the bathysphere like a couple of kids. Then they bolt it down, and the crew attaches the cable, and it is winched into the sea as the cable unrolls.
The bathysphere was able to go about a half mile deep into the ocean. As BB and Barton sank into the sea, they were happy to have constant contact with Gloria Hollister, the other main scientist of the expedition.
On the deck of the ship, Gloria Hollister would sit with this notebook on her lap and a old simple telephone attached to her head, and the telephone line followed the cable and connected to the bathysphere, and BB was there on the other end. And so as the bathysphere descended, BB would describe what he was seeing, and Hollister would take note in the notebooks. So the first eyewitness account that we have of the deep ocean are those logbooks that Hollister wrote.
What kind of creatures live in the deep ocean? If you've seen Finding Nemo, you might remember the glowing anglerfish who lures its prey into its mouth with a glowing bulb of light. Because it gets darker and darker the deeper you go into the sea, deep ocean animals have adaptations that help them live in this environment that are pretty different from other fish. When BB first saw these creatures through the glass windows of the bathysphere, he was probably pretty surprised.
They had no idea how much life was down there, so that was an amazing surprise right from the beginning. Based on just what they had been able to bring up in nets, they had a certain idea, but they really had no idea how populated it was. There's one creature that they encountered called the bristlemouth, which was unknown.
A bristlemouth fish is a tiny deep sea fish with a skinny dark body, a mouth full of tiny needle-like teeth, and rows of glowing dots along its side that helps it shine like a little underwater flashlight in the pitch black ocean.
They kept encountering it, and then over the course of the 20th century, we realized that this small mid-ocean fish is actually one of the most populous creatures on the planet, but it just was unknown, and so there are just certain parts of the ocean are just teeming with these creatures. And then there was also the phenomenon of bioluminescence, and seeing bioluminescent life for the first time in the deep ocean was absolutely mind-blowing to BB.
Bioluminescence is when a living thing can make its own light inside its body, kind of like having a built-in glow stick. When BB saw all these strange glowing fish deep in the ocean for the first time, he was absolutely amazed. But then he had a tricky task ahead of him. BB had to describe what he saw so that Hollister, the other scientist, could document his discoveries. Luckily, BB had some artists to help him.
They had artists with them always from the beginning of their expeditions. They have this German-born illustrator named Elsie Bosselmann, and she just was excellent at depicting these species. On the bathysphere dives, on the deep ocean dives, BB would come back with these descriptions of anglerfish, of, you know, green fangs and glowing tentacles and outlandish species that, you know, Bosselmann had not seen. And so based just on his description, she would render them and they would work together until he was satisfied that it represented what he'd seen. These illustrations are kind of stylized, but are, you know, the creatures are recognizable and they just have a certain uncanny beauty to them.
There's a link in the description to pictures of Bosselmann's drawings if you want to check them out. The drawings are amazing and even more impressive if you think about how difficult this must have been for BB and Bosselmann. You can try an experiment like this at home with a friend. One friend can look out the window and describe what they see, while the other draws based on the first friend's instructions. You might be able to gain an appreciation for what Bosselmann and BB were doing, but you would still have an advantage because if you're describing a bird, at least the other person has seen a bird before. BB was deeply affected by what he saw on his dives. Documenting new species and exploring undiscovered parts of the Earth is an amazing thing.
There's the moment where he says, "I'm a quarter mile below the ocean surface and there's a luminous fish outside the window. That is the entirety of my contribution to science."
BB was proud of the things that he discovered, but he was also almost overwhelmed by the experience of going so deep into the dark ocean depths.
In the descriptions, in the logbooks, you see these moments of as they get deeper, and he's just eventually just saying black, black, black. Somehow, it's as if all of language and thought falls away, and he's just there in the darkness. If you stare into the abyss stares back. There is also a richness to that experience. It's what makes you want to write and want to communicate and want to experience and go on experiencing.
Beebe found himself in the unique situation of having to explain the unexplainable. Even though it was difficult, because of him, scientists were able to learn more about the deep ocean and the creatures who live there. Over the years, we've continued to send submersibles and people deep into the ocean to continue Beebe's legacy.
His legacy is a few dozen species that were identified, and you know, when you look them up now, you see that they were first sighted in 1932 in Bermuda. But I feel like his true legacy is in this sense of using the imagination to look at the natural world. I feel like that's a much more meaningful legacy and something that really affects how we see these days as issues of ecology and the environment become much more urgent.
William Beebe teaches us about the importance of exploring the natural world and using our imaginations to learn more about things that might seem difficult to understand. I think that his contributions to science are incredible and a great reminder of the wonder and awe of the natural world.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to William Beebe and his adventures in the bathysphere. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is called Eccentric Inventor Reveals Secrets of the Ocean. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.